God in heaven, thank you for this nice day. Thank you for this time to be together. Bless our service this day. Help us to learn from you. Pray for Brian and Erica and their family, whatever their plans are, whatever they're doing, be with them. Bless your children throughout this world. Help us to do your will and to please you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're ready for Matthew chapter 9. Verse 1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So we see, like in the first verses, Jesus heals a man, and some people say that he's blaspheming, or they're not happy with, they can't see anything good in what Jesus is doing. But in verse 8 it says the multitudes, when they saw it, they glorified God. They were glad. And also in the verses about the man that Jesus saw, Matthew, when he saw him, it says that all these men, the tax collectors and sinners, they came to where Jesus was and they wanted to hear what he was saying. They saw that Jesus was teaching and doing good things, and they wanted to be with him and hear what he was saying. But the Pharisees criticized Jesus. They said they're tax collectors and sinners. They're bad men. That's the way it is often in life. That something good will be happening, or many times we don't. Maybe we're like that ourselves. Maybe we don't understand when something good happens, or when something good happens to someone else, we might even be jealous. We might even think, we might be critical or jealous, instead of realizing that something good is happening and being glad for something good that's happening to someone else. Maybe if we're jealous, we can't see the good that's happening. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. maybe it's kind of like what Jesus was doing here. Jesus was doing things differently than what they were used to. They couldn't understand. They didn't know how to deal with it. Kind of like if you have something in a bottle, like say fruit juice or something, and you leave it out in the sun, and it begins to ferment, and then you open the lid and the whole thing breaks apart or it spills out. Makes a big mess. That's what it's talking about, like new wine. It's fermenting and it's expanding. Okay, let's keep reading verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the rulers of the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Again, we see like in the things that happen here, people don't understand. Some people understand what Jesus is doing and they're glad. Other people mock or laugh at him. And even when there was a man that was well, or that was healed from the demons, and Jesus made him well, it says they asked him to go away. It's like the verse that says about, says that the light shone into the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness didn't understand it. Those who are glad to hear, there are some who are glad to hear Jesus and glad for the good that he's doing, and then others are criticizing him, don't like Jesus, and even ask him to go away, even when he's doing good things, because they're not able, because they're of the darkness, they're not able to understand. Okay, you boys, go ahead to your lesson. For next week, you can all share a Bible story. One of your favorite Bible stories, you should talk about it a little bit. Say why you like it, what it means to you.
We were supposed to get someone in history that didn't have their life planned out but had faith. And I got these two German boys that they heard of this island with 3,000 slaves on it, and that their master didn't want them to know about Christ, and so they sold themselves into slavery and went there and told the slaves about Christ.
Simon was a man that no one would have thought that he had faith. He had servants that he could command to do something, and they would do it. He had enough faith that he believed that Jesus could heal one of his servants who was about to die. So Jesus healed the servant.
I thought about a lot of the early Anabaptists. Didn't really know what the next day would hold or whatever. But they had faith, just trust in Jesus. Like William Tyndale when he was translating the Bible, he was just living here and there, and he didn't really know what would happen. But he had faith.
I thought about the brothers here in the church, and I thought that before they came with us and on our paths to do the right or to do God's will, they had to have faith and just take the steps right in front of them until our paths come together.
In Hebrews 11, it says about all the people that had faith, and it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So he, when God told him to, by faith, he moved away to this place where he didn't know where he was going, and he probably life was fairly good where he was. Probably had his family but then when God told him, he moved up to this different country, and so he had faith to do that.
One time when Jesus was healing sick people, a Gentile woman came up to him and asked him to heal her daughter. And she had enough faith that she didn't even ask him if he could do it. She just asked him if he would. And he said that she was a Gentile, and she said, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs that the children drop from the table. And so he helped her out.
In Acts 10, it talks about Cornelius. He just knew it was good to pray and give alms to people. And then one day, an angel came to him and told him to find Peter. And he met with Peter, and Peter taught him about what he needed to do.
Moses was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he had a real future ahead of him. It seemed he could have maybe even been the next Pharaoh, but he saw his own people and how they were getting treated, and then God called him, and at first he was hesitant. He didn't think he could handle such a big task, but he just had to have faith and did what God wanted him to do.
Rahab was righteous, and she hid the two spies for the Israelites so that they wouldn't be captured by the ruler of wherever city that was. But she was not a person that. She was not an Israelite, but then she did something good, and so she was righteous.
A while back, we watched this movie. It's a true story on how there was this family, and the dad had died, and they were having this awful life in the city. I mean, mom was away all day working at a factory, and all the kids were just. It was just chaos. And anyway, so one day mom got kicked out of the factory. So she came home. She said, yeah, we're going to get in the car and we're going to move one last time. We're just going to go out in the country and just see if we can find a place. And so they all got into the car and they just went along, kept going, and they ran out of gas and the car broke down and everything. finally they went as far as they could and they pushed the car till it stopped. Or they just pushed it, and then they stopped at this place that it was just junk everywhere, and there was this house partway built, just the skeleton. And so anyway, there was a man that lived there, and they decided to help him for some pay and stuff. So they started working on building this house, and they just found about everything they could to put on it. Just the one of the boys went to work for a junk man and got a toilet, and he brought it home on a wagon. And so anyway, it was just complete. They didn't have really any money and stuff, and they were trying to make out. But the mom was just really courageous and always said things were going to turn out. And the oldest boy, he was just rebellious. He just thought, no way, you know. He didn't believe that things would turn out like that. And so here, one day, they got the toilet hooked up. And the younger, the next to oldest boy, he was just so happy about that he wouldn't have to go in this old outhouse anymore, that he just went and threw gas on the outhouse and burned it. And the fire leaped across and burnt their house down. And so the mom came home, and there was just ashes everywhere, and they were looking around, and the mom was just like, well, it's going to turn out, because they had found their little money jar down in the ashes. And so the mom was like, yeah, it'll turn out. And the boy just got mad. He was like, you've always told me that things are going to turn out, and they never turn out.
The money jar was burnt, though. I mean, there wasn't any cash.
Yeah, they found it. It was safe. Their little bit of money was left down in the money jar. And so anyway, the mom was just said, yeah, it's going to turn out. And the boy wanted to go back to the city, and he just kept yelling and stuff, and the mom said, you can go back to the city. We don't even need you here. Just get back to the city. And so just then that day, all the people of the village found out that that had happened. They all got together and had a work bee and built their house for him. And so it turned out good after all. So we can be that way. Just the mom, it doesn't really say that she was trusting in God, but we can be that courageous, but just trust in God, kind of like that.
I read a story. It's about Christians who go down into Mexico and teach the Mexicans down there and teach them about God and Jesus. And the Mexican government didn't want them spreading that around. And a lot of them were caught and killed. And a family went down there, and they were down there for a couple years, and the soldiers caught them. And instead of killing them, they just took their money and had mercy. Just have faith and God worked things out.
When the French Revolution and all the poor people were rebelling against the king, thinking it was their fault, his fault that he didn't have any money, there's a family that their dad got put in jail, and the daughter got sick, and they had to leave France, and they had to go to another town, and mom just always told the son that no matter what happened, it was going to turn out all right. And they had faith, and in the end, they got back together.
My heart's kind of overflowing with something to share this morning of a learning experience I had this week. And I'll start it by reading a scripture that I'll stem into what I'm going to say. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm just going to kind of skim through here. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anybody loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore concerning eating of the things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. And I'm going to skip ahead to the last verse. of chapter 8. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat again. I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And I read that, and I went a different direction, so bear with me here in my thoughts. I thought about how that relates to things that we desire in our hearts to express, and music in particular. This is all about music, what I'm about to share. And I thought about how we need to put reins on our desires. And I had an experience this week that was, I don't know why it happened this week, if God was trying to reveal this to me or what, but for some reason, and this desire has always been in my heart, to be able to play my music, because I have music in my mind. And this week I just went through lots of struggles and stress just trying to figure this out and write my music down, and like I have often in my life. And I was over at Floyd and Jessica's, I had supper with them, and we sang. And then Jessica asked me about my song I wrote, so I played it for them. And I realized later how much of a blessing it is to sing with the family, and how they're just praising the Lord. And I realized how that contrasted with me playing my music. And just thought, wow, that's a great difference. And then their little girl, Faith, she started singing this little tune. I was like, what is that tune? And I looked at Jessica, and Jessica was like, I don't know, she's just making that up. Like, singing this little, had her own words and everything. And I felt in my heart almost like an envy. Like, that's a child expressing music from their heart. And I can't even do that, you know. But then what I realized after my whole week of struggles is that I have music in my heart, and it flows out from the inspiration that comes from God. And I'm like a child in my heart, you know. And when I have music and I'm really enjoying it in my mind, for some reason I want to exalt that and take it to a level that's beyond healthy for me. And I thought about the verse that said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. And I thought about how that's a blessing, and anything in our life that we express is an expression from God, and it can only be from Him. And then I thought about how the composers, like, you know, Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart, all these guys, they were consumed. I think they were consumed with an idolatry of this expression. Though it was from their heart, they were consumed by it. And you just see, not in all the composers, but in a lot of their lives, there's just a misery and emptiness. Anyway, I just wanted to, whatever that means to y'all, I wanted to share that. And I wanted to play something on an instrument I got, real quick. I haven't practiced very much on this, so bear with me here. And I'm a little nervous. Praising God. Though their music may have praised God in some ways, or may still, I'm not judging them or their music, or I'm not judging that we can't enjoy it and praise God with that music, but I'm just saying that to be a child of God is not, it's not all figured out. It's an expression that comes from God only. And David is one, King David is one I thought about, and how he played his harp to the Lord. And I was like, that was a blessing. He played that harp, and he didn't make that a ruler. He didn't let the instrument or the music rule his life. But he praised the Lord, and he lived his whole life for the Lord.